Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Carla Armstrong, and you are listening to Designing Your Life with Carla. We're so glad to have you back with us again on tonight. As always, we thank you for taking time out of your busy evening to tune in and show us some love. We at Designing Your Life with Carla love to bring you shows that talk about real life issues that are impacting men, women, and our youth today. Tonight, like every other night, we're just so excited about our wonderful guests who will be joining us shortly. Just want to let you know that we appreciate you, and if you have some shout-outs you'd like to give to us, you can find me on the web at carlaarmstrong.com. As always, let me know how you're enjoying the show. If there are any guests you would like to see on our show, I love hearing from you guys. Our numbers are continuing to grow, and we just really appreciate you. Those of you who catch us for the live show, those of you who call in and listen to the replay, and those of you who listen to us online, I just want you to know I appreciate you, and you guys are the best. And feel free, if you're a Blog Talk Radio host, to like my show. I do like back. I love to connect with you and listen to some of the things that you have going on with your shows. Tonight, I'm so excited. We have a young woman with us by the name of Jana Flagg. She's going to be here tonight talking with us about knocking out fear. And I'm so excited to have this conversation tonight because I know many of you are dealing with fear and have dealt with fear. And I believe tonight Jana is going to be able to share with us some things that are going to help us to move forward in our lives. And just before she comes on, I'd just like to take a few minutes and read her short bio. Jana is an author, speaker, inspirational humorist, Christian comedian, and ovarian cancer survivor who shares the story of challenging her battle with fear using humor, positive attitude, and faith to inspire others to never give up. Jana's greatest fight was against fear, which overwhelmed her, robbed her of hope, decreased her faith, threatened to defeat her. She gives practical tips to knock out fear that can discourage you and diminish your faith. Jana has written a book entitled Fight Fear and Foster Faith. It brings encouragement wrapped in humor as Jana testifies how God gives us the tools we need to go through and overcome difficult circumstances and hardships. Her greatest fight was against fear, which overwhelmed her and robbed her of hope. Jana will share with us tonight practical tips to knocking out fear that discourages us and robs us of hope. Jana, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Coach Carla. I'm excited to join you.
Yes, I'm excited to have you with us on tonight. We're looking forward to, you know, you sharing with our audience tonight. This is such a wonderful topic, Jana. When I began to look at through some of your story and your testimony about fear and facing fears, and we know that so many people are dealing with fear today, and I'd just like for you to begin by sharing your background in battling fear. If you could just share with us your brief story.
Well, like a lot of people, I was misdiagnosed for over a year with cancer. And when I finally went into the hospital, it was for what was expected to be a routine hysterectomy. And, you know, Carla, I requested that little bikini cut And I thought, oh, I'll be awake in a couple of hours, you know,
right.
And I'll be in the mall by the end of the week, you know. But because I didn't expect it to be a big deal. But what happened was that I woke up not a couple hours later, but two full days and nights later. I woke in the hospital, and I was cut from the pelvic bone all the way up between my ribs, so the length of my body, and I had over 80 staples. I had never been a patient before. I was in a lot of pain, and I didn't know at that time that it was cancer. That was in the middle of the night, and I was alone, and so, you know, my first thought was, you know, God, I still love you, you know, but are you in this with me? Do you see me? Are you going to be in this with me, whatever this is? And
wow.
And I really felt that the Lord told me, you'll have a been there ministry. You will help other people. And I thought, oh, great, that doesn't sound good at all. You know, that sounds like I'm going to really go through even worse. You know, and this was bad enough. And, you know, the morphine drip wasn't even touching the pain. And, you know, I thought, why couldn't I just have something simple like a muffin outreach or something, you know? But that wasn't to be the case. So the next day when the doctor came in and said, well, there's good news and bad news. The good news is surgery went very well. The bad news is we found stage 3C ovarian cancer, which had spread. And
Wow. After
that, I never heard another word the doctor said, and to my dismay, decades of faith were just chipped away in that moment, and I was down for the count. And like you said in the introduction and the bio, that, you know, my greatest battle was not against cancer, which was terrible enough, but the fear that came with it,
yes.
and just
yes.
overwhelmed me and just, you know, robbed me of hope.
Wow,
so that's the background.
Wow.
That gives me credibility to know fear. And then I learned through that process that I decided early on, you know, in designing my future, if I was going to have a future, that I needed to fight, and I needed to quickly learn how to fight the fear and then get on with being a full-time cancer patient.
Right. Wow. Now, in your book, Fight Fear and Foster Faith, you provide practical tips to knock out fear and move forward. What are the three most important things someone who's facing a hardship can do to fight fear?
Well, I think that it's kind of like three umbrella topics. One is to adopt a positive attitude, and we'll be talking more about that. And secondly, to program our heart, program our spirit for victory and not defeat. And then thirdly, to add humor to our life and look for the humor in the hardship. It might be hard to spot, but it's there.
Wow. Now, are you going to go through more of those points as we move on? Because I love those three points. There's just so much meat in that, Jana, that really that in itself could just, you know, cause people to really begin to, you know, break through in the areas that they need in order to be able to fight fear. And we know so many people, you know, who are dealing with fear. At least I know so many people, you know, tests and trials come, and, you know, we can say what we want, Jana, but let's just be honest.
Yeah.
Fear does creep up. It's very real.
Yeah.
And so what can someone do to acquire and maintain a positive attitude?
You know, the first thing that I found and that I highly recommend is hang out with positive people. It may sound like a no-brainer. Hang out with positive people because hope is contagious. And avoid, and the other side of that coin, Carla, is to avoid, like the plague, avoid people who are not positive, who are negative, even if they're related. So that could be kind of a challenge. But, you know, don't go out of your way to hang out with naysayers. And it's important to, you know, it's important to be around people who will speak hope and speak healing and speak, you know, recovery. And we're talking about fear. And in my case, you know, as we said, it came with, you know, ovarian cancer, but whether the hardship is divorce or foreclosure or loss of a job, you know, fear is fear, and that's what we're talking about,
right,
is how to fight fear. And so avoiding the negative person's comments is key to fighting fear, which is produced by believing the wrong things. So a seemingly innocent remark like, oh, there aren't any jobs out there right now, the economy's bad and nobody's hiring, you know, the enemy can use that like a fiery dart that plants a seed of fear in us.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and in my case with the cancer, you know, they might say, oh, well, you know, oh, ovarian cancer, that's deadly. Well, I can't let that little seed to get in there. So, so the number one tip for fighting fear is don't walk away from negative people. Run.
Run. I love that.
Run.
I think, you know, go ahead.
I'm just going to say they just suck the energy and suck the hope out of the room.
Right. I know, you know, you made a statement about, you know, how when people hear something about here ovarian cancer and they think, oh, my God, you know, we've heard all the bad reports about, you know, that particular type of cancer. So how can you ignore those types of comments, you know, when maybe the stats say X is true about this type of, and, you know, we're always hearing statistics about, you know, there are so many people unemployed and, you know, and it always looks so hopeless. And Jana, the stats are true. Let's just, you know, there is truth that there are X amount of people without work.
Right.
So how do you combat that when there is, we'll say, some proof, there is proof?
Yeah, and another way of what you're saying is, you know, you said a moment ago, is how do you ignore a comment that you've already heard? You know, it's true, it's a stat, and you've already heard it, so it's already gone into your head, and what you take in, you know, becomes a part of you. Well, and so that can be a battle, but you can win that struggle by not meditating on the negative thought, by not repeating it, by not, you know, by not repeating it and feeding on it. And then secondly, you know, by countering the negative message with a positive statement.
Yes.
For example, you know, yeah, the economy's bad, nobody's hiring. But then you turn it around and say, you know, I know the economy's bad and it can be tough to find a job, but I have faith that I'm going to keep knocking on doors and I will get a job. So you counter it with a positive statement.
That's so good. You know, Jana, I saw something the other day, and it was just, it really blessed me. It's a video that's going around, and it's a video of a blind man, and he's sitting on the stairs, and he's collecting money, and he's not getting that much, and its sign says, I'm blind, can you help me? And a woman walks past, and she writes something on his sign, and all of a sudden, he starts getting all types of money. And when she walks past again in the other direction towards him, she stops by and he feels her shoes and he knows it's her. And he said to her, what did you do? And she said, I changed the wording on your sign. And she wrote on her sign, it's a beautiful day out and I can't see. Now, you see how just changing, you know, it caused people, it put that positive statement first.
Right. It was a different perception.
Yes. And so when you're saying that, it made me think, you know, we have to be careful what we say and pay attention to how we say what we say. Because that really makes a difference.
It does. It's that self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, exactly. So you have to be so careful, so very careful, the words that come out of your mouth and even your responses when you hear things as well from people regarding your circumstance and your situation. Why is it so important, I guess, to counter that negative comment? You know, what are some of the benefits that happened as a result of that you saw even in your own situation?
Yeah, Yeah. Well, it's important because words not only reflect our attitude, but words can shape our attitude. And so positive speech promotes positive attitude. And accentuating or accenting a positive aspect of a situation, you know, can have some beneficial results. And, you know, even a child can do that, Carla. I have a quick example about my 8-year-old granddaughter, Zoe, went to the donut shop for a treat with her mom, and she was told she could choose one donut, but instead she picked up a big cupcake and insisted that her mom buy it for her. And her mom told her, well, we're not buying cupcakes today. And besides, it looks like someone already licked this one. And so the expression on the kid's face, you know, betrayed her, right? She got a big looking across the frosting on the top. Well, her mom was aghast that she would sample a snack she hadn't paid for and upset that now they have to pay for the damaged cupcake. So she told Zoe, hey, you are not allowed to eat this cupcake nor any other treat tonight, and, you know, pulled her from the store with those famous words hanging like a cloud over the parking lot, just wait till your father comes home.
Right.
Well, once at home, Zoe had to be afraid, of punishment, repercussions. Well, at home, Zoe sat in time out and meditated on her crime while she waited for her father to arrive. And when my stepson walked through his front door, she joyfully jumped to her feet and announced, good news, Dad, there's a cupcake for you. So what a smart kid. But what she did was she knocked out her fear with her positive words. She put a positive spin on a situation that wasn't looking very good for her. And she also taught us a valuable lesson. And that lesson is don't lick the frosting unless you paid for the cupcake.
No, that's right.
Yeah, remember that.
Wow. Yes, yes. That's a wonderful story. I love that. What role do our words play in fighting fear?
You know, what we say about our situation is important because the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who say they can rise above their circumstance and those who say they can't, guess what? They're both right. You know, I'll never get a job, or I will get a job, or I'll never be healed, or I will be healed. You know, words are like vessels. You know, they convey fear or faith, and they produce after their own kind. And what I learned was that fear is the reverse of faith. So I started thinking of it like a prize fighter in training, that my own words, your own words, program your heart, program your spirit, either for victory or for defeat. And like we said a moment ago, it's like the self-fulfilling prophecy. What you say is what you get.
Right, right. Wow. And that's so true. It is so
true. So you're not denying,
true.
You know, you're not denying that there's cancer cells in the body because they're there.
Right.
But you're denying that they have any right to stay there. Or you're not denying that you're out of work. But you're not accepting that. Well, I deserve to be out of work, or I'll never be hired.
Right. Or that's your destiny. You know, because
that's right.
You can speak into your destiny and your future. And so
it
may be that way right now, but that doesn't mean that's the way it's going to always be. You know.
Right.
And so there is hope. Absolutely, there is hope.
And you know, and with hope, then you can move forward and you can design your life.
That's right. Absolutely. Shanna, why is humor and laughter important in the fight against fear?
You know, humor is a powerful weapon besides the fact it feels good to smile and to laugh.
Right.
But humor is a powerful weapon against fear, I think, because it diffuses or lessens our fear by redirecting our focus onto something lighthearted. You know, laughter lifts our spirit. When we laugh, we feel better. When we feel better, oh, it's so much easier to have hope when you feel better.
Wow. I love that word, redirecting, because to me that says you have some ability that you can use.
Yes.
And that there is power. That redirecting, to me, that denotes power.
Yes.
And I come from a family of people who love to laugh. And Jana, I can honestly say that there was a time in my life where I had lost that, you know, ability. Oh. And because sometimes, you know, we can become so serious in life that, uh-huh. you know, that seriousness can just override everything. And I found that I had to find reasons to laugh, you know, mm-hmm. and even if it meant laughing at myself, you
yeah.
know, and I realized that sometimes we can be so serious and so caught up in our situation and circumstance that the joy, you know, the joy of the Lord that we have available to us can get lost. And so humor is just, you know, I believe God created us that
yeah.
way. He created us, you know, to be able to laugh and to find joy in life. And I think that goes back to what you said earlier about having those positive people in your life and,
mm-hmm.
and those people, you know, being able to take you or redirect you to
yeah.
another place where you can embrace that humor and laughter. And so I love that. And I know that you are a comedian. So how do you use your skill as a comedian? Can you share that with us?
Well, I find, you know, as you said, that, you know, that laughter, you know, is so important in life and humor is so important in life. And maybe some people have a keener sense of humor. And I've certainly met some people that apparently don't have any sense of humor.
Right.
But we're not talking about them right now. We're
no,
talking about,
not at all.
You know, there are some things that we can do, you know, to try to think on more humorous vein. And part of that
mm-hmm.
is that background. I also, you know, my mom was the one that trained me. We were so much alike. We shared the same sense of humor. And from the time, you know, that the furthest back I can remember, she and I laughed together and you know, we could just look at something across the room without speaking and we would both see the same thing and start laughing because we would interpret it the same way. And I tell you, she and I have been thrown out of some of the finest restaurants in Hollywood right after we got our, because we were laughing so hard with tears rolling down our faces and,
wow.
you know, trying to control ourselves, but we had to throw the prime rib dinner in the bag and just go home. But, you know, when the waiter caught his sleeve on fire when he was making that flaming coffee drink, it wasn't funny that he caught himself on fire. What was funny was his expression when he went out of the room fanning, you know, his sleeve, and that nobody
right.
else saw it, but nobody else saw it but us, you know. But,
wow.
you know, but there is humor really all around, and there's even humor in a hardship.
Right. Right, right. Wow. And so how do you find humor in your hardship?
You know, there are so many things that happened. Sometimes they were funny right at the time, and sometimes, it's in retrospect. But you know, soon after I was, the word got out that I had cancer, like the word got around my church, I noticed that people responded differently to me, Carla. You know, it's like they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'd step to go around like it might jump on them or something. I don't know.
Right.
But one lady came up to me and she apologized. She said, "I'm sorry, I didn't get to know you." And
oh
I'm touching
my
face. I know. And I thought, hey, wait a minute, I'm still here. But she turned around. You know, she turned around and walked away. And I thought she just missed her second chance to get to know me. And,
oh my God!
You know, and another, you know, well, I think that's very funny. But she was serious as can be.
Right.
Another person came running up to me and said, "I'm so happy that I'm not you." And I thought,
what?
Well, I'm glad I could make you your day. But what a weird thing to say, you know? Well, but
wow.
this. You know, instead of getting offended by this, I know it's awkward. People
right.
don't know what to say.
Right.
You know, but I started thinking, hey, maybe there's a cancer card to play here. So I tried it out. My first opportunity, I went to an expensive camera store to return a cable that I couldn't use. And the manager was polite and explained to me that I would not get the refund because the, you know, the time limit had expired. And as he turned to walk away from me, I blurted out, "I'm a cancer survivor." And I lifted my shirt. I was just out of the hospital a month at that time. And I lifted my shirt to show him that huge, ugly scar. And his eyes got big as saucers. And he quickly gave me my $40. And I thought, hey, this cancer survivor thing isn't bad. I could work this.
Oh, my God.
This could revolutionize shopping as we know it, girlfriend.
Right.
You know?
Oh, my God.
You know, that's not the end of it. I got home, and I stood in front of the mirror, and I lifted my shirt to see what it was that he saw that was so persuasive, because I thought,
right.
You know, wow, I mean, he really responded strongly. Well, I did that, and I realized I saw in the mirror I had inadvertently lifted my shirt too high, and I flashed the guy.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, the worst of it is, I mean, that's embarrassing, and I can never go back there, maybe not even to that city. But, you know, but the worst of it was now I'm not sure why I got the refund.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, I think that's, you know, that's a funny story, but it really happened. All of my stories are true.
Wow. You know, what I love about that is that you were willing to take that risk, too, because that's a risk that you're taking yourself as well, you know, in your own psyche, you know, because you have to come to that place where in your psyche you can accept where you are and do something different, you know. To me, that's a huge risk, you know. While it's a risk, it's also a smack in the face of cancer and saying, look, I'm not going to allow you to keep me from living. And I think that's another part of, you know, fighting the fear. It's like this one will call, feel the fear and do it anyway. It's like, I'm not going to allow fear to keep me so, you know, that sometimes I have to push that button and go beyond.
Right.
You know,
right.
To find your own comfort level with what it is you're dealing with or what it is you're going through. So I love that story because I think that's a great example of that.
And I think an important part of dealing with the fear, because fear has a way of kind of like being a, you know, it starts out small and then it's an entity unto itself. It creates a monster. It is a monster. But to kind of boil it down and say, what's the situation here? And to say, it is what it is. It is what it is. I wish I didn't go through this, but it is what it is. Now, how can I be the best cancer patient I can be? And how can I help? How can I help other people to, you know, fight the fear that, you know, that threatens to hold them back in life?
Right. So, Jenna, do you speak at different events, or how do you get the word out about yourself and what you're doing? I'm sure it's something like what you're doing here, but I know there are so many women who, you know, who've had cancer or who have cancer, and you know, how are you getting the word out about your story and, you know, what you do? How can people find out more about you and what you're doing?
Well, you know, the best way is to go to my website at Jana, J-A-N-A, flag, F-L-A-I-G, and there's, you know, there's topics and a background and book information and so forth. But I've been a professional speaker for many years. My background's in radio and television. This topic of fighting fear is what's new, is that this is a mission. This is a mission and a soapbox. and this really just put the passion and the purpose into that speaking career. And I speak at women's events and conferences and retreats and cancer organization conventions and different venues. And while certainly men can benefit from, you know, can glean from this topic, but my heart's with women. You get a room full of women, and we have a lot of fun. You know, we just think differently. So, I speak at a lot of churches, and then also some secular settings and so forth. And And then enjoying being with you on your show and trying to, you know, reach out and meet new women. That's always
yes.
fun.
I love it. Let me ask you this now. How long has it been since your stint with cancer?
You know, that's a praise report that was stage 3C ovarian cancer. The gynecological oncologist specialist gave me 2 to 3 years survival, and I'm now
wow.
six and a half years
oh my God.
Out. So I am a miracle. I had two
that's
major
a praise
operations.
Report. Yes.
It is. You know, I had two major operations, the length of my body, and after each operation, I spent a month in a rented hospital bed. So I had the operation, a month in the hospital bed, then I had 5 months of rigorous chemotherapy, followed by a second look surgery with the same big cut, and another month in a hospital bed. And, and so when people say, we're going back to words and language again, Carla, that when people say, oh,
yes.
You're in remission. I said, no, I'm not in remission. I'm healed by Jesus' stripes, and
yes.
I'm staying healed.
Yes,
and I'm staying healed. Yeah.
That's right. It's according to your faith, Jana, be
yes.
it unto you. That's what
that's
the scripture
right.
says, and that's what you have to believe, and that's what you stand on. You know, I love
yes.
that, because when we take the word of faith, that's our healing right there. That's our
that's
healing.
Right.
We stand on
that's
that
right.
word, and we just don't give in. We don't give in. We don't give out, and we just believe God in spite of the fear. And fear is going to be there. If that fear, one thing I can tell you about fear, it is always on its job.
Yeah,
faith,
it's always knocking
faith,
at your door.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And faith
and fear,
is too. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say that fear, I found that fear is the reverse of faith. You know, that
yes.
God's perfect love cast out fear, and God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but of power,
yeah,
love,
right.
and a sound mind. So
right.
I had this visual. You know the Wonder Woman cartoon character? Wonder Woman?
Yes.
She's got that,
yes.
she's got that great, you know, American flag costume and those
right.
long legs. And those long legs.
Right.
Well, but she wears those bracelets. And when people are shooting bullets at her or firing arrows at her, she raises her wrists, her arms in defense. And when those
right.
bullets hit those bracelets, they just bounce off and cannot hurt her. So I pictured that when people would say, oh, ovarian cancer, my mom died of that, that's bad. Then I would just say, I would come back and raise my bracelet of scripture. You know, this illness shall leave and not come back again. And
right,
so,
right.
So I had to constantly, at some points, I had to constantly just make sure that I had those scriptures. I carried a little book with me that had 40 scriptures that are specifically about God's will and desire to heal us. And I just kept repeating
right.
and I just kept feeding on those. So that would be my first thought instead of letting fear,
right.
you know, take root and destroy whatever
yes.
time I have left. So I may
exactly.
have 2 years left or I may have 25
right.
years left, but
right.
I'm gonna spend it in hope and having hope and praising God and helping other women to, you know, to have the same.
That's it. I love that, you know, because I know for myself I had to grab a hold of Philippians 4:8 and redirect, like you said, redirect, you know,
yes.
my thoughts, you know, and begin, you know, to think the things that are truth and the truth that is the Word of God. And
right.
when we can really get our minds to come to that place, Jana, I think we can see, you know, the blessing in
yes.
having that relationship with God and the necessity of it. You know, he didn't say that we wouldn't go through things. Go,
right.
We're going to go through something. As long as we're in this
yeah.
human body, there's going to be some adversity that we're going to have to deal with. But he's given us power.
Yes.
And when we utilize that power, we can see the impact that it can have on our lives. And it's not predicated on anything else but the word of God and using
that's right.
You know, whether, like you say, whether you live 2 or 25 years, if you're using the word of God, that's what's sustaining you. And so the time factor doesn't even matter. What matters is the word of God is alive and it is doing something great inside of you, and it's inspiring
Amen.
Other women. You know, it's helping other women to see, like you said, it's fear is just not isolated to cancer. You know,
no.
You can have fear around anything. You
right.
know, I
right.
was talking with someone today. They're fearful of losing their job. You know, it's
uh-huh.
it's because when the mind starts trying to attack itself with
uh-huh.
unhealthy thoughts, that's
yeah.
where we get trapped. And you have to have something to combat that. Now, Jana, you know, as a coach, I love the mind. I do a lot of studying on the mind and things. And
uh-huh.
what I've found is that there are 60,000 thoughts that go through our mind in a given day. Now, that's
wow.
enough. That's enough to make you have all kinds of crazy thoughts, you know. And the thing about it is if you pick up any one wear on something that is negative, it will lead you down the road.
Yeah,
do workshops for women. Yeah, I do workshops for women who suffer from schizophrenia and bipolar, and I can really understand it. You know, I never used to understand it, but I understand now because with 60,000 thoughts going through your mind, it's a wonder that there aren't more of us who are schizophrenic and suffer from bipolar, but for the grace of God, because it
right.
is the job of the enemy to ensure that we pick up on something that is outside of the word of God that's going to be
right.
detrimental to us. And
right,
so
right.
we need faith. We need faith.
We need faith.
We need
and,
women.
And,
yes.
And, yeah, and to be able to design our life, to be able to stay on the right path of a, you know, positive
yes.
life, you know, we got to have that mindset that's a choice of how we're going to respond
yes.
to what happens to us. Are we going to respond in fear and
yes.
and hang on to that, or are we going to and let that you know identify us, represent
right.
us, or are we going to choose faith? And you mentioned something a moment ago about just because we're Christians doesn't mean we have a free ride, and I was laughing to
right.
myself when you said that, because when I became a Christian years ago, I thought, oh, this will be great. Now I won't have
right.
any problems in life. It's like getting a free
yeah.
pass, you know. Well,
right.
and that was true for 34 years. Well, then this came along, and wow.
Right.
You know, but what I found
right.
was we don't have a free pass. The rain falls
no.
on the just and the unjust. But,
well,
but what we
yeah.
do have, what we do have, is God to walk with us through that valley
yes.
and to
yes.
give us the tools we need to fight fear along the way and to endure
right.
every
right.
step, you know, and to come out on, you know, on the other end with hope. So
that's it. We
go
get
God.
To choose. We get to choose
yeah.
how we go through this life. That's the wonderful
yeah.
thing. We get to choose. And, Jana, you know, I love that we have a choice. We have a choice in this matter. You can choose faith or you can choose fear. And
right.
and I thank you for coming on and saying, look, I chose faith. I had a choice in the matter. I could have given up. I went into
right.
a situation that I had no idea. You went in one way and came out another. You know, had you known.
That's a good way to put it.
Maybe, yes. I mean, when you think about just listening to your story briefly here, you know,
yeah.
there could have been, this could have gone a whole lot of other ways, but for the grace of God. You know, and he's allowed you to take this message and be able to share it with others to instill hope in them, to let them know, I don't care how bad it may seem right now in your life, there is faith. You can combat the rain in your life. And that is a message of hope. You know, that is a message that will take people way beyond where they see themselves right now. And we live in a time where people need hope. They
oh,
need
yeah.
to know. Yeah, they need to know, Jana. They need to know. Is
and
there
you know,
anything
hope,
else you – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add to that you know, hope allows us to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And there are, as you know, when we're operating in fear and our situation is dire – not only can we not see the light at the end of the tunnel, we don't even believe there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But when we have hope, then we can believe there's a light, and we can eventually see the light, and we can keep, you know, moving forward in our life.
That's it. Keep moving towards the light. Jenna, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience tonight? This has been so good.
Well, just, you know, I'd say wear your good clothes every day, order dessert whenever you want, and if you have eyebrows and eyelashes today, thank God for that. And life is too short to spend with negative people, and every day is a gift, and don't sweat the small stuff.
Right. I agree.
Jump in the ring and fight fear. Don't give up.
Yes. I love it. I love it. So tell us one more time how people can get in touch with you, where they can find your book, and, you know, more about what you're doing or how they can contact you for any speaking engagements.
Well, the website is Jana, J-A-N-A, flag, FLAIG.com, and you can push a button and email me. We can be in touch with one another. There's also information about the book, Fight Fear and Foster Faith, available at Amazon.com, and so the website's a good reference place, a good place to start.
Right. Thank you so much. Jana, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your story with my audience tonight. I'm sure they have been blessed by everything that you have said, and I believe that someone is walking away today with faith instead of fear, and that they've been given some tools to help them on their journey. So I appreciate you. Thank you for taking out your time. And you're busy. I believe you're in California, so it's still early there.
The sun is up.
And yes, I love it, love it. So, Jana, thank you again. I appreciate you, and we look forward talking to you again. And thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. As always, we appreciate you. We thank you for all you're doing to make this show a success, and we look forward to being with you again on next Thursday. Good night, everyone.